Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm with Dave Robb, who's Sustainability Manager, Cargill Aqua Nutrition, and we're at Innovation Forum's How Business Can Measure the Impact and ROI of Sustainability. Welcome, Dave.
Thanks, Ian.
So we've been talking about how to really generate better impact measurement. What for you are the key things a company has to do to establish an efficient impact measurement performance program?
I think the first thing that we've looked at is how to address what we call building the base. Set up a system where you can look at what the materiality is and then set up metrics for how to measure on the material topics and then back to reporting. Without that system, you're constantly in danger of greenwashing and just clutching at straws for what to look at next.
Is greenwashing been something that's been a particular concern for you?
It's something that we're always aware of because our industry is under a lot of scrutiny and there are some issues in the industry as a whole that need urgent addressing. At the same time, there's also some good positive stories coming through, not least because we're in a food industry making nutrients for the human population, which is essential. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we're addressing all of the issues that are concerning the stakeholders.
What are the criteria that you use to choose what to focus on in particular?
We start off using the GRI framework for addressing materiality, and we open that up internally and with stakeholders to identify what the material topics would be. And then that allows us to make our materiality matrix to identify the key topics most important to our stakeholders and most important to us.
And what were they?
An example that came out consistently over the years at top for both set of stakeholders is our raw material base. The sources of our raw materials and how much of those we're using is a great concern both to us from an economic standpoint of view, can we continue with business and continue growing, and to our stakeholders in terms of also can we continue growing for our customers, and from some of the environmental concerns, what's the impact though of using those raw materials?
Any particular raw materials?
The ones that highlighted and we've taken into areas we're then managing how we source are around marine ingredients and soy ingredients in particular. Also palm oil. We use a relatively small amount of that, but we do use it.
So what are the key challenges then in your marine supply chains?
Our key challenge on the marine supply chain is biodiversity management in the fisheries and ensuring that we're taking raw materials sourced from well-managed fisheries. And interestingly, when we started this work back in the early 2000s, there was very little data on how well the fisheries that we were sourcing from were managed. But through a series of work with NGOs and with the industry as well, we're now demonstrating that some of the forage fisheries are some of the best managed fisheries out there, despite the volumes that they're taking. And that would surprise a lot of people just how well fisheries can be managed.
As an aside, we have done a bit of work at Innovation Forum on krill. Is that something that's a particular concern for you and your supply chains?
We don't ourselves deal directly with krill, but other members of the industry do use krill as a raw material. And again, through working with industry and relevant stakeholders and NGOs, have shown that you can manage that fishery very well and extract a very nutritious product from the fishery.
A lot of challenges. A lot of people might disagree with the fact that you can manage it well, but Antarctica, particularly in the spotlight around the dangers of overfishing.
Absolutely. But when you've got an enormous biomass there and you're extracting a very small amount, I think if you look at scientific evidence and remove emotion, which is difficult to do, it is possible.
Okay, well, how should companies choose between the easy wins and the bigger long-term challenges, do you think?
Easy wins are always attractive. The classic phrase of low-hanging fruit, and everyone's always drawn to those. But it is the job of management to look at the long-term picture as well. And you have to address those and set challenging goals against those targets. And I think there's some great examples of large multinational companies who've set challenging goals, which they've anticipated they're not going to meet, and they've changed their direction slightly again and tightened the belt and really trying to work towards those. And I think that's a great example to all of us, is that set yourself challenging goals. Don't be afraid of not meeting them, but keep going towards them and change your timescales and change your approach. But you're working to improve all the time.
And I guess for internal purposes, having some easier wins is good for morale, isn't it? People can see things are improving. You can demonstrate that, you know, this is making progress in the right direction. That's then going to be able to encourage everybody to help you push forward in the more difficult issues, more difficult challenges.
Absolutely. You've got to keep up engagement with everybody, and you've got to keep using the carrot to get there and show that you're making steps. And we're doing this by a series of different goals over shorter timescales and longer timescales as well. I think, again, it comes back to you can set more challenging goals over a longer time scale. So it does give you the direction of where you're going. If you're just doing year goals, it's a bit uncertain as to the direction that you're trying to get to at the end.
We've talked a lot today about transparency and developing a culture within companies of transparency and disclosure. What do you think are the key benefits for transparency that you found at Cargill? And what are the secrets to establishing these as benefits?
The biggest benefit that I see of transparency is it builds trust within your own organization, within your stakeholder community as well. By being transparent, you're opening up to show what you do. And I think more often than not, people go, aha, actually, they're not so bad. And there's quite a surprise about what you're actually doing. It requires a change in mindset of any organization to be completely transparent. And there's many organizations that are not transparent at all. But the benefits are there through building trust. And through building trust, you get better relationships into the future. So you've got a more secure business into the future as well, which is economic sustainability for us.
Sure. Is there a danger for companies of trying to manage everything, do you think?
There's a danger of companies thinking that they should try to manage everything. And I think you have to choose what your most important factors are or your most manageable factors are. And at the same time, be aware of what the other factors are that you might not necessarily be able to manage. Some of the issues that we deal with in sustainability are contradictory. And therefore, if you're trying to go to the lowest level on two indicators which are contradictory, you're not going to manage it. You will end up having to optimize. And we don't have a system for dealing with optimizing, for example, a topic that we talked about today, environmental and social impacts. So if agricultural practices are creating jobs but damaging biodiversity, which is more important?
What's the best way to navigate through that, do you think?
I think the best way to start navigating through that is through building corporations, collaborations across a variety of stakeholders, moving into the pre-competitive area where appropriate, and bringing in relevant stakeholders who also need to begin able to see the broader aspects rather than single issues, which we all can get easily trapped into.
Sure, absolutely. Well, there's an awful lot more to talk about. Dave, Rob, thanks very much indeed.
Thanks a lot, Ian. Nice to be here.